Thank you very much, and good afternoon to all of you and to all those in Cyberland. I know some of you like to have titles, so if you're looking for a title, you could just put down this. Are you too busy? Dot, dot, dot. Now, to begin with, I want to let you know that the names have not been changed to protect the guilty. The facts are true. I'm not proud of them, but they are what they are. I'd like to share with you a day that happened with me a couple of weeks ago. Lots of bills have been piling up, car bills, dentist bills, doctor bills. You couldn't believe it. Before I knew it, they'd raised property values again, and I looked, and I bought my home 6 years ago, and I calculated out, I now pay 43% more on my mortgage than I did 6 years ago. Well, all of this tax increases, it puts a pressure on me, and it takes more of my time to meet just the normal bills. So I decided, with all this pressure, each one of my accounts, I write how long it takes me to do it. I looked at my need for money, I said, you know what? I scheduled 12 hours of work in an 8-hour day. I'm gonna work really hard and really fast, and it's the right thing to do. I gotta provide for my family. Okay, this is what I'm gonna do. So I'm getting going, and then as my customers wanna talk, I gotta kinda cut them short a little bit. Still wanna be a Christian, but man, I got a lot to do here. You know, I can't just be fiddling around. Time's money. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Well, I packed my lunch, and I certainly couldn't pull over and get anything, so hopefully I can get by on these two bottles of water. But if you remember back a few weeks, we were in a heat wave. Well, by 11 o'clock, both of those bottles are gone. Now I'm really struggling. I'm eating my last part of my sandwich as I drive to the next account, putting in the CD. But don't worry, it's a good CD. A friend of mine gave me the Bible on CD, so I'm listening to the Bible. I'm really going to get my Bible study in today. So while I'm doing that, then the phone rings. I'm trying to eat the sandwich and trying to, get that last little morsel of water down. And I think, I should just pull over and eat like a normal human being, but I don't have time. I gotta go, go, go. So I was like, get about, 2 or 3 o'clock, I'm really starting to wilt now. And I'm thinking, boy, I should get over there and look at my day timer and just make sure I haven't forgotten anything. Oh, I know what I gotta do. Besides, it's already slid into the far side of the pasture. And think I'd actually have to pull over the side of the road, take extra time out to go get it and look and see what it says. No, I know what it says. I'll just go on. About 6 o'clock, I come dragging my sorry little behind into home. I go dump my stuff off at the desk and 17 messages. That's besides the ones that Hannah or Emily have taken and left there. Oh, if I listen to those now, it's gonna be a half hour, 45 minutes by the time I write them down, push replay, what did they say, call them back. And I've got my house half painted. I gotta get that thing done. You know, Emily wants that done. That's a good thing. I'm trying to make her happy. This is a good thing to do, take care of the things God gave me. Yeah, I'm just going to go start painting out there. So about 9 o'clock, well, there's ain't no more painting done. I'm dehydrated. I'm ready for bed. But I go in and think, I better listen to my messages. Beep, 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 beep. Hi, this is Warren Larson. Just a reminder, today's Wednesday, Bible study, 6:30 at the Fishers. Look at my day timer. Bible study, 6:30, Fishers. Wow. So about, I do the processing of checks and money and scheduling and trying to organize that. Somewhere between 11 and 12, I head off to bed. Spend a half hour trying to pray and not fall asleep. Finally decide God will understand. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Have you ever had a day like this? Everything I did was a good thing. It was motivated by good motives. And yet something seemed a little amiss. I'd totally forgotten about Bible study. Have you had a day like that? Have you had a week like that? Maybe you've had a month. Sometimes we can have years like that. Hopefully I don't have to go through and prove that we live in a fast-paced, hectic world. Our society is played on fast forward. And that's just the way it is. It's a pitfall of the times we live, I believe. So hopefully we can agree that that is how society is. And it will allow me to get on to say what I have to say. And it's simply this. That a busy, hectic lifestyle often chokes out the things of God, leaving a Christian ineffective and vulnerable. So the real question I have for you is not, are you too busy? Just like the title isn't really, are you too busy? The real question and title of my speech today would be, are you too busy to be a Christian? Am I too busy to be a Christian, a real Christian, the kind that God intended me to be. You see, I think Satan's okay with us coming to church and hearing the Word of God, as long as we don't go out and actually start being a doer of the Word. Now, that would be a problem. I think he's okay with us coming here and fellowshipping and smiling and how you doing and have all these nice thoughts and feelings, as long as we never get around to really knowing, loving, serving, and caring and interacting with one another. I think he'd probably be okay with that. I think he'd be okay with us knowing about God as long as we never take time to develop a deep personal relationship with our Creator, a friendship, the type that Mr. Luker talked about, a filial love with him. Yeah, as long as we just hear about him, then I think he'd be okay with that. I think he might be okay with couples staying married, not getting a divorce, but never learning, never taking the time to honor and respect one another or to develop what they call being one. He's probably okay with that. Just pretend to be married. That might work. How about teens coming to church? Oh, they come to church, visit, but as long as you never get around to reading your Bible or pursuing baptism, I think you'd probably count that as a win. It seems to me that it would be smart for us to assess ourselves, to take stock. Is the frenetic pace of life that we're living interfering with true Christianity? Now, we all know that the Bible clearly tells us that true religion, undefiled, is this, that we visit the widows. The question I ask myself, do I actually get around to visiting the widows? Do I do it as often as I should have? Do I do it every time that spirit moves me, I see someone, I think, oh, I could have them over. I could go talk to them. Do I respond to that? Or do I say, no, I'd like to, but I got to be over here. I got to be over there. I got to do this. They're 42 miles away. Am I too busy to actually do that? What about Bible studies? How many of the Bible studies are within my ability to get to them? Not just in my area, but what about in one of the other areas that I might be close to? Do I make it? Do I go? Why not? Is it because I think Bible studies are bad? I don't like them. I don't like the people. No, if I don't show up, it's usually because I don't have the time. At least that's what I tell myself. What about brethren? How many brethren live with even 20 miles of where you live or where I live? Have we taken the time to get to know them, have them over, go over, help them, just be part of their lives? I'll bet you every one of us has someone within 20 miles. I'm not saying that we have to go 2 miles, 2 hours south, to meet with someone. What about the ones that are right there within our grasp, within the scope of what we can reach out and touch? How many, Barn Raisers is a neat program, but I've noticed the numbers have been dwindling. And when I talk to people, I say, well, why aren't you coming anymore, or what happened? Everyone likes it. They all think it's a great deal. It's always rewarding. But the fundamental reason? Time. I don't have the time. It's a Sunday. I got to give up a Sunday. And so sometimes we don't make it. How many messages have we heard since just January 1? How many of them do we remember? How many of them did we take home and say, I'm going to study this. I'm going to think about how does this apply to my life. I'm going to form a plan to change. Do we have time to do that? Do we have time to meditate about it? Do we have time to heed the advice we're given? Or do we just go on our merry way? Are we too busy to change? Am I too busy to repent? Am I just too busy to actually take the time to figure it out, to know what I should repent of? What about fatal flaws? The Bible is full of lists. One list you can find is in 1 Corinthians 6, where it talks about those who won't make it in the kingdom of God. Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh. Do we ever take the time to think, where do I fit in there? What are the hidden motives and attitudes in my heart? What one of these fatal flaws rests in me and could keep me out of the kingdom? Do we take the time to figure out where we are and what God would want us to do about it? So what do we do if we would come to the conclusion that we're living too fast a paced life to really change, to be what God wants us to be? The first thing I would say is remember that godliness is never convenient. It's never just the perfect time to go do something. Don't wait until you have the time or while conditions are perfect. You need to just do it. I would put it this way. We need to learn to stuff the things of God in first. And it leads me to a scripture in Matthew 11 and verse 12. And while you're turning there, I'll remind you that, remember that Jacob wrestled with God? He had to wrestle for a blessing. It was hard. It was aggressive. And it was painful as his hip got put out. And the attitude that Jacob had was, I will keep fighting and wrestling. You can take my arms away. You can take my legs away. I'm going to fight for this. I think we need to have that same type of aggression. In Matthew 11 and verse 12, it simply says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I think in our society, we need force to push the things of God into our lives. If we had time, we could do a little hands-on activity where we'd have big rocks and little rocks, and we'd have a tub. And your challenge would be to put all the rocks in there. And everyone could try any method in the world you wanted, and you would come to one conclusion. You must put the big rocks in first, then the little rocks. There is no other way you could get them all in this container. That's how life is. The things of God and God's people, they're the big rocks. But society and the world we live in, it has a twist. If you've been busy putting the little pebbles in and you decide, hey, I'm going to put the big rocks in, I'm going to put what's important in, life will get harder. That container will change shape and it'll get too small. And you're going to need to ram that rock in there. You may break your fingers. What did Christ say? If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Do whatever's required to get the things of God in first, and then the rest of life can filter around it. It's the only way that works on a long-term basis. So I just think about that scripture and I'm moved. There's something, I like the way that Adam Clark put this when talking about this verse. He said, he will take or get possession of the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and spiritual joy must be in earnest. All hell will oppress him in every step he takes. And if a man be not absolutely determined to give up his sins and evil companions and have his soul saved by all hazards and at every expense, he will surely perish everlastingly. This requires violent earnestness. How determined are we? You know, in 1 Kings, we're told about this vision that Elijah is given, where a great wind comes, and a fire comes, and an earthquake comes. These are all big, dynamic, demonstrative things. They're noisy. But God was not in any of those things. God was in the still, small voice. Busy are you? Are you too busy to hear a small voice? Am I too busy? One thing I've noticed about speed, the faster I go, the noisier it is. Get in your car and try it. The faster you go, the louder it is. Are we going so fast we can't hear that small voice from God? So I'd like to just kind of conclude with going to Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20, where Christ says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and opens, I will come into him. I think God knocks every day. With that opportunity to go to Bible study, he's knocking. He says, oh, please, come into me. Open it up. Open that door by going to Bible study. By doing whatever the things are that you've been convinced that you need to be doing. Maybe it's, you know, taking time for your children. Maybe it's developing this. Maybe it's just some time for meditating. Carve it out. Do it. Respond to it. Because if we will respond to God and answer the door, you know, when he knocks, then we won't be too busy to be a Christian, because we will be busy being a Christian.